We have a lot of people gone today. Keith and Jennifer out of town. The Jones family are out of town. Keith normally plays acoustic and leads up front. And today, Phil played the acoustic and led up front. Phil's our multi-talented guy that he'll jump in anywhere we need him. So he normally back there on bass, so he picked up the acoustic today and has a beautiful voice. So great job. Thank you, Phil. And Evelyn and Angie, thank you for that today. A lot of our team is gone. Our youth worship band is leading worship today at another church. So they've gone out to bless another church today. So that took away some of our musicians, but some of our youth. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28, as we continue the series, The World's Best Relationships. Today we're focusing on loving our neighbors. Mark chapter 12, so if you have your Bibles, you can open up, we'll read, beginning with verse 28. This is my newest Bible, it's an English Standard Version, an ESV. You might have something different, an NIV. So it'll be close. You can follow along closely. Beginning with verse 28 of Mark 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He said, "When we have seen him, we have seen you." That he is one with you and he has come. He had come to teach us and to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you but through him. And today we open your word and we seek your direction for our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Sadly, today, our culture is not very conducive for friendships. The average American moves every 5 years. Many Americans, they pull up into their garages, and whenever they're outside, they're in their fenced-in backyard. They hire someone else to do their lawn care, and I know, Charles, you're thankful for that. But a lot of people are so busy they don't have time to meet their neighbors, sit on the front porch and sip sweet tea and lemonade and talk about the family and talk about the grandchildren and talk about what's taking place in life. We just aren't that close anymore. We keep everybody at a distance through texting and emails and Facebook. We keep everyone at arm's length rather than close in our relationships. Now in verse 33, did you catch that answer? To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. These are Pharisees. These are religious elite. They are zealous for God and the law. They loved God. They also kept the law. This was a time where they were offering sacrifices, burnt offerings to God to pay for sin as a means of redemption, the payment for their sin. This was part of their ritual, bringing sacrifice to God, which is very significant. God gave them the law. God gave them the instructions. They were following the law. They were following God's instructions. But He says that more important than this is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we apply that to us today, more important than gathering on the first day of the week, more important than singing songs to our God joyfully, more important than gathering around the table of remembrance and proclaiming the death of Jesus, more important than our prayers, more important than what we do in this place, is loving our God and loving our neighbors. Now, that doesn't discount what we do in here. That doesn't discount the works of the law. Because we can do these things. We can come in here and we can sing joyfully. We can come in here and we can gather at this table and proclaim the Lord's death. We can come in here and pray and still not love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and still not love our neighbors. And this is what Jesus was confronting, that they were keeping the letter of the law, but nothing else. They wouldn't live beyond that. Now, I realize that some neighbors are hard to get along with. In our first house, we were right out of college, moved to a new area, bought a little house, and as we're moving in, Becky met the neighbor next door. I hadn't even met him yet. He was sitting over at his fence. Becky walked by and said, "Hey, you interested in buying that property behind your house?" "No, we don't know anything about the property back there. Is it for sale? We're just happy to move in here. We don't know much about that." He said, "Well, if it comes between $500 of you and me getting it, I'll get it." "Okay, nice to meet you." That was a rough neighbor. On the other side, there was a couple there that treated us like we were their kids. They were great neighbors. Not all of our neighbors are easy to love. Some of them we have to extend extra grace to. Now, as we look at our relationship with our neighbors, let's acknowledge first that we must go the extra mile. Matthew 5:41 says, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles." Now, Jesus is writing this, or saying this, at the time of Roman rule. The Roman Empire had expanded. The Roman Empire had taken over most of the known world. The Roman Empire had built these roads that led out from Rome. 50,000 miles of roads to all the nations that they had conquered and they now ruled over. And on these 50,000 miles of roads, every mile they placed a marker. And this marker would give direction. It might give warning of some dangerous terrain up ahead. It would give the miles to Rome. And that's where the saying comes from, all roads lead to Rome. Because in a sense, they did. They built these roads so they could move in and out easily. They could move troops in and out easily. They could move their soldiers in. They could move their leaders in. They could have a handout over those they ruled. And that's what happened with Israel. The Jewish people lived under Roman oppression, under the Roman Empire. And there were soldiers in and out all the time. And often they'd be carrying a lot of weight. might be their bag of supplies, backpack, as they've been sent on duty to move to that location. So they're traveling there as they're on duty there. Maybe get the return home on a break sometime. Their armor, pretty heavy. So they could say to some young Jewish boy or Jewish man, "Hey, carry my bag for me." And law required them to carry that bag for 1 mile. And many of them resented the Romans, resented them being there, resented their rule, and they wouldn't go one inch past 1 mile. And that was okay because the law said 1 mile. We see this taking place when Jesus was carrying his cross. He had been beaten. He had lost a lot of fluid. He was dehydrated, weak, and he fell under the weight of the cross. And they grabbed the Cyrene and said, "You carry his cross." And he was required by law to carry it a mile, which he did. But when Jesus taught, he said, if you are asked to go a mile, you go 2 miles. You go beyond. You make a statement. You make an impact. You show that you are different. Now, as Christians, we must be living in the second mile. To love your neighbor is the first mile, but to love your enemy, that's the second mile. To bless those who bless you is the first mile. To bless those who curse you is the second mile. To do good to those who do good to you is the first mile. To do good to those who hate you is the second mile. Praying for those who pray for you is the first mile. Praying for those who despitefully use you is the second mile. Now the Pharisees, they lived in the first mile. We are only going to do as much as the law requires, and that's it. Christians live in the second mile. No matter who it is, a spouse, a boss, a co-worker, a friend, a fellow Christian, a neighbor, if they ask you to do something for them, you give double. You go the extra mile. Live in the second mile. Colossians 3:17 tells us why. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Because you're not living for self. You're living for the Heavenly Father. And when He calls us to go the extra mile, we go it in obedience to our God. Not only should we be living in the second mile, but we should loan generously. Matthew 5:42, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now perhaps you've loaned a shovel to your neighbor, and the shovel came back with a broken handle or a cracked head. Maybe even something more expensive. You loaned your lawnmower or your lawn tractor, and it came back with a broken shaft. Maybe you loaned your car, and it came back with a scratch on the side. And maybe they didn't say a word about it, but you noticed. How do you treat that neighbor? How do you handle that situation? Well, as a Christian, we always handle it with grace. But you might want to say something, not chew them out, not hand them a bill, not refuse to let them borrow anything again. No. You say, "Hey, I noticed when I got the tractor back that the shaft was bent. Do you know anything about that? I did hit a stump. I'm sorry if that bent the shaft. Hey, did you notice there was a scratch? I'm sorry about that." And maybe they'll offer to fix it, and you graciously allow them to fix it. Or you go the extra mile. You get it fixed. Say, listen, I got it fixed. If you ever need it, it's here. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't let them use it again. But going the extra mile says, it's okay. I've replaced it. I fixed it. It's here if you need it. You say, that's unreasonable. That's costly. Yes, grace is costly. And it may cost us something, but when we are generous and we go the extra mile and we are obedient to our Father who owns it all anyway, He's going to provide. He's going to provide. He'll provide a new one. He'll provide the resources that you just spent to fix it. When you are obedient and trusting and you go the extra mile. Go the extra mile, loan generously, and keep the peace. Romans 12:17-18, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, everyone has that neighbor that just makes everyone else miserable. He or she yells at everyone who comes into their yard. This neighbor will cuss you out if your dog steps into their yard. This neighbor will threaten the kids who come into their yard to get a ball they accidentally kicked or hit into the yard. This neighbor might alienate themselves from others because of a sour disposition. The neighbor chews you out because you cut the grass just across the line, 3 inches. Maybe you're thinking, I don't have a neighbor like that. And that's great when you have wonderful neighbors. But be careful, that neighbor could be you. A lawyer was duck hunting in Montana. He pulled back, took aim, and he got the duck. And it fell into a neighbor's property. It wasn't the property on which he was permitted to hunt. It was next door. He had to climb a fence to go retrieve his duck. The lawyer climbed the fence and he was over in the other property when the owner of the property pulled up in his pickup truck. He said, what are you doing on my property? He said, I'm going to retrieve my duck. He said, no, sir, that's my duck now. It's on my property. He says, you know who I am? I'm a famous lawyer. I could sue you for this truck and your land. It'd all be mine. The duck would definitely be mine. The man who owned the property said, no, I don't know who you are and I don't care. He said, around here we settle things with the three-kick law. Said, the three-kick law, what's that? He said, well, I get to kick you 3 times, and if you can get up, you can kick me 3 times. If I can't get up, you can have the duck. If you can't get up, the duck's mine. The lawyer thought, you know, I grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood. I'm a pretty tough guy. I think I can take this guy. She says, all right, I'll take that challenge. With that, the man kicked the lawyer in the shin as hard as he could. Oh, the lawyer bent down. With that, the man kicked the lawyer in the stomach. I'm going to make it. With that, the man kicked him in the back of his legs and he fell back on his back. He rolled over and he brushed himself off and he got up. He said, okay, that was your best shot. My turn. He said, it's okay. You can have the duck. It's a beautiful thing to have a neighborhood where families share with one another, eat together, loan tools and equipment as needed, help one another out with jobs, maybe painting or building the shed, taking care of the yard when you're gone, watching over your house. It's a wonderful thing to have great neighbors that go the extra mile for you. Now, as a Christian, you have a responsibility to not only loan your items to your neighbors and to do whatever it takes to keep the peace, but you have the responsibility to go out of your way to make sure your neighbors are taken care of. Why? So that you might win some. I'm going to go back to Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now you are a witness in everything you do. You are to be a light and salt in the world. And so that means you go out of your way. And it may seem unreasonable. It may seem ridiculous and crazy. It may seem way out of the norm. But you go out of the norm. You bite your tongue. You don't seek revenge. You deny yourself for your neighbor. You live in the second mile. Because when you're in Christ, you value people more than anything else in this world. You can't take your car with you. You can't take your tractor with you. You can't take your tools with you. But you can take your neighbors with you. When you leave this world, you can take your family members with you. The second mile is the witnessing mile. The second mile is the sacrificial mile. The second mile is the commitment mile. The second mile is the breakthrough mile. The second mile is the sowing the seed mile. The second mile is your destiny mile. The second mile is the deliverance mile. The second mile is your healing mile. The second mile is your set free mile. I'm convinced that more souls would be saved if we lived our lives in the second mile. Jesus went the second mile for us and even beyond that. What does it mean living in the second mile? It means to rise above the instinctive desire to strike back, to get even or settle the score, and to meet evil with good. It means to swallow pride and abandon self-interest. It means to be slow to anger and quick to forgive. It means to live by grace in the face of the unfair. Jesus went much farther than the second mile for you. He went as far as anyone would go and more. Live in the second mile. A small group from a church went into a neighborhood nearby where there were families struggling. It was a low-income neighborhood, and they knew that they could be a blessing to families there, and they carried with them loaves of bread. And they went door to door. We're from the church down the road here, and we have some loaves of bread. We wanted to know if anyone here could benefit from some bread. Why, thank you. We could take a loaf. That really would be helpful. Thank you. And as they went door to door, they came to a door where they could hear yelling. But they knocked on the door anyway. With that, a man came to the door and said, "What do you want?" He said, "We're from the church up the road. We have some bread. Do you know anyone here that could benefit? Would love to have some bread. Would like some bread." He said, "What'd you say?" He said, "We have some bread. We want to know if there's anyone here that would like some bread. We're from the church." "Why would you do that?" "Well, we want you to know that God loves you and we love you and we're here for you. If there's anything you need that we can help with, need anything you want us to pray for, we'd love to pray for you." And with that, he began to break down in tears. And he called his wife over and said, "See, honey, I told you that God hasn't given up on us. I told you that God was with us. And he sent these people as a reminder that God is for us." And he told them, he said, "You don't know this, but yesterday we buried our 3-week-old son." And they said, "Can we pray with you?" And he said, "Yes." And they surrounded that couple and prayed with them. and prayed for them. And they continued to pray for them. And they continued to minister to them. And because of their act of grace, of going the extra mile, that couple gave their life to Christ. And you may be thinking, I don't have anything I can do or give. Maybe you can bake. Maybe you can fix things. Maybe you can write a note of encouragement. Maybe you can make a phone call and say, I was just thinking about you. Anything I can do for you? You just never know when you go the extra mile whose life you may change. Heavenly Father, thank you for going way and above for us. You went to the cross to take every one of our sins, to trade our sins for your righteousness. Wow, what a trade, what a deal. And you've given us your Holy Spirit, the guarantee of what is to come. And it was promised in Acts 2, if we repent and are buried in baptism, that we receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Spirit. That it's for, on that day, Peter said, for your children and your children's children and for those who are far off. And we're thankful for the offer to trade our sins for your righteousness, for the offer of your Holy Spirit, the guarantee of eternal life. And I pray, Father, that for the one here today, that perhaps there's one that needs to go the extra mile for you, by letting go and stepping out before this crowd and confessing Jesus as Lord, ready to be buried in baptism, raised into new life. Or maybe one that needs to recommit their life to you. I pray that you'd be at work through your Spirit. That we're here to pray for one another if there's a need. I pray that you'd reveal it. Move during this time of decision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.